Welcome to Courtside Bombs, the show where you will get a courtside seat outside of the arena. I am your host, Wendy Sparks. Today's guest is the lovely Kenny Crawford, who is the mother of Dwayne Lee Bacon Jr. of the Charlotte Hornets. So get comfy and get ready to hear their story. I do it naturally.
Today, I am speaking with the lovely Miss Kenny Crawford, who is the mother of Dwayne Lee Bacon Jr. of the Charlotte Hornets. So, Kenny, thank you so much for coming on my show.
No problem.
People want to hear about Dwayne, where he grew up, does he have siblings, about his family life, and so much more. So tell me, where does his story begin?
His story begins in Lakeland, Florida. He was born and raised in Lakeland, Florida. He is a brother. I have five kids, so it's four boys and one girl. So he's the oldest sibling to all my kids. And he's just the light of my life. He went on a journey with me together. I was 16 when I had Dwayne, so we've kind of had to grow together. But watching me grow and watching him grow into the man he's become is just amazing, because I never thought we would be where we are today. So I'm just thankful that God shined his light on me to have such an amazing son. Here we are.
So what was he like as a big brother?
He was great. He's very protective. I think he always feels like I was always in these relationships where my relationships were abusive. So I think he always felt like he kind of had to protect his younger brothers and his sister. But he's a great big brother. He looks out for his brothers and his sister, as well as me. So it's like, I don't think they could ask for a better brother, because he is absolutely the best. He, no matter what, he might talk noise, but he has their back, and he will do whatever for any of them.
You know, I was watching a video with him, and he seems so in touch and in love with his family. And I think that's so beautiful and humbling. He speaks a lot about you and his grandmother and his siblings, and he seems like the almighty protector.
It seems like he's never, that's the only choice he's had. I said, watching me go through a lot, I feel like he feel like it's something he has to do. He has to make sure he protects me and his family. I think that's just something he's kind of took on.
So was sports for him like a way out of trouble or struggles or whatever the family was going through?
Sports for him was, I come up, my dad's been dead ever since I was nine, and my mom was always addicted to crack cocaine, so she was always in the street. So me putting him in sports was a way to for him not to get in trouble, and also to not grow up and just want to be like in the streets. Cause I have like a brother and cousins, and all them were in and out of jail, or, they were selling drugs or just alcohol, drinking a lot of alcohol. So I looked at me going through what I went through with my mom and my brothers and my cousins. I just was like, always like, my kids, I'm not going to let my kids be that way. So I put Dwayne and his siblings in everything I could. I had him in football. I had him in basketball. I had him in soccer. I just put them in anything that can keep them busy, because I just didn't want them. I just wanted more for my kids than I was offered.
Right. You know, it's good as you, you were 16, like you said, when you had him, you were so young, and yet you were able as a young mom, as a teenage mom, to make such good decisions for yourself and for your kids. So I can only imagine that being very difficult.
Yes, it was. But we made it work.
That's it. So let's talk about him playing basketball. Where did that really start for him?
It started when he was about in the fifth or the sixth grade, because I had always let him play football. And I mean, Dwayne was great at football. He was like the best wide receiver ever. But I would rotate him from football to basketball. And so we just kept rotating it or whatever. So he began to love both of them. So finally, you know, one year he just came to me after playing football. I think it was his eighth grade year. And he was just like, Mom, I don't want to play football no more. I want to focus on basketball. And I was like, what? Because I was like, you are so good at football. You can't give it up. And he's like, that's not where my heart at. I just want to play. I want to focus on basketball. And I think then in the eighth grade, going into the ninth grade, that's when he really, he had always played it, but I think that's when he really like got serious about it. And he went to saying he wanted me to put him on AAU teams. And we just went from there.
Did you have community support?
No. I had like a couple, like his coach from McKeel Academy. He was the first person to introduce me to his AAU coach, which is Diane. She's from the Showtime Ballers. That's who Dwayne played for. But he was the only one like introduced me to her to get him playing, to even begin to play in the AAU, on the AAU team. But other than just like coaches, I pretty much had to do a lot of it by myself. That's what he wanted. So I just did whatever. And it wasn't cheap. I had to pay for him to play. He always traveled, but I just did what I could to make it work, because that's what he really, truly wanted to do.
There is nothing more better than a mom's sacrifice, eh, to get our kids where they need to be. Let's talk about his high school. He went to McKeel Academy, then he went to IMG, and then Oak Hill Academy. Why did he go to so many schools?
So he had been in McKeel Elementary, then he moved on to the junior and then high school. So he felt like being at McKeel, he wasn't getting like the recognition or just wasn't experiencing all he could experience. One of his coaches talked to me into going to IMG or whatever, and we end up going over there. And I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I want to go to IMG. Well, he went to IMG, and it didn't quite work out the way he wanted to. So he did a half a year at IMG, and he ended up going back to McKeel. And at the end of his 11th grade year, he was on the road on an AAU tournament, and the guy from Oak Hill Academy, Coach Steve, came and watched Dwayne play, and Dwayne had been telling me about Oak Hill. So he was like, Mom, if I could just get the opportunity to go play at Oak Hill Academy, it's like a basketball powerhouse school. I can really be that. I can learn so much more. He was just telling me how like Carmelo Anthony went there and Rondo. He just knew all these players that went to Oak Hill Academy. So the coach came and watched him play, and he told him, hey, Dwayne, I want to offer you a chance to come to Oak Hill Academy. So it was like, it happened like that. And before I knew it, the summer was gone and we were driving Dwayne. We were flying him up to Oak Hill Academy in Virginia, not the Woodson, Virginia. So that's how he ended up, you know, from McKeel to IMG and then to Oak Hill Academy.
Were you able to go see him play in high school?
I didn't see him play. I've seen him play at IMG and McKeel Academy. But no, I actually didn't see him play at Oak Hill Academy, only on TV, because I was in a relationship where I was in an abusive relationship. So I wasn't allowed to, like, leave the state of Florida. So I couldn't drive up. I couldn't fly. I couldn't go anywhere. So I had to stay home and kind of just watch him on TV. But I was able to make his last game and his graduation. But, yeah, I couldn't watch him play unless I watched it on TV. So that was kind of hard for me.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, this is your baby, your oldest baby, and it's tough when we let them go. And at this point, when you're sitting there watching him on TV, were you, like, the biggest basketball fan ever now?
I wouldn't say I was the biggest basketball basketball fan ever now. I think I'm just the biggest Dwayne Bacon fan. And I say that as to I'm his biggest fan no matter what it is. Whatever I'm a cheer for him, whatever. If it's the right thing and if it's what God has for him, I'm gonna be his biggest fan no matter what. So whatever he does, I'm his fan. And basketball is just something else added to his life that I can be a fan of and be proud of what he's doing.
Aww. When he played Oakhill Academy, he led the team to a 45-0 season. And then he played later on McDonald All-American, Jordan Brand Classic Game. So at this point, he was receiving a lot of recruitment letters from Georgetown, Xavier, DePaul, and a bunch of other schools. What was it like for you to see your mailbox flooded with all these letters for your baby?
It was exciting. It was definitely exciting because he was just, it just opened up a whole lot of opportunity that I never expected. I didn't go to college. I went to like a tech school. So, and I didn't even graduate. I went, I was pregnant and I ended up getting my GED. But it just was something amazing to me because now he's given an opportunity to go to college, and that was something I never had the opportunity to do, or I never even imagined that I could probably even pay for him to go to college. So at that point, I'm just like, my son is getting all these offers. It's an opportunity for him to get a scholarship to go to college, and he can get a degree, something that I just never imagined. So it was definitely exciting, but it was also a blessing as well because it just opened doors that I just never thought we would be here, or he would even be, or given the opportunity to go to college. I think I was scared because I felt like, what if my son ends up like my brothers or my cousin, or he you know, ended up, somebody led him the wrong way, or he wanted to take another route and be the kid that I didn't want him to be. So I was thankful. I always prayed and God just opened some doors, and he was given the opportunity. But Dwayne was a special kid. I look back and I say, me keeping him and stuff, because I would let Dwayne like go to skate roll and stuff, and he would be the kid, you know, if fights broke out outside, you know, he would be the one calling telling the adults, hey, call my mom, tell her to pick me up, and I'm just gonna stay in here until she gets here. He was always that kid that didn't surround himself with the wrong people because he just had this vision from day one. Like, if I can make it or I can get out of here, I can really like do some good things for my family. So I think that just stuck with him. So it was definitely a blessing. So I was just thankful for all the offers he received.
Wow. You know, when schools offer scholarships, usually based on the player's athletic ability. However, most time coaches do their homework, and they also want players who have drive or a very good work ethic, for example. So what do you think Dwayne had that they felt would make him a great player for their team?
I felt like they looked at Dwayne. Dwayne, one thing about Dwayne, you can never take his work ethic from him. He will work. And if you tell him that he is not doing something right, he's gonna go back and he's gonna do it. He's gonna get it right. He's just gonna work. And he knew what he wanted. So you got a kid that know what, you know what I'm saying, know what they want and know how to work. And he just always felt like he can add to any team wherever he went. That's just the attitude that he had.
Wow. He's like that versatility player that can just be anywhere, right?
Yes.
So after you and Dwayne went through all those letters, the choice of school was Florida State University. So what was that process like for you as a family to choose that school? And then why did you choose Florida State?
I think the whole process was good. We did get the chance to go out and go to a couple other schools. I think Dwayne Hart was always with Florida State because they were the first ones to recruit him, and they just were consistent. They treated us like family. they was just always there, you know, showing support, showing up, just being what he wanted. Dwayne is loyal. One thing about him, he's loyal. So if you develop a good relationship with him and you're a good person, he looks at that and he's going to be loyal to you. So, and they just, I think they started watching Dwayne when he was in the eighth grade and they stuck with him to the end. And that's what he chose. He said it was never my decision or my family's. It was always what he wanted. And I felt like that's what he wanted in his heart, then he should do it because he was the one that had to go to college. So I just supported him, told him how I felt about it. And that's what he chose. And also he said he wanted to be close so I could come to the games because I was a single mom, you know, working two jobs, trying to do whatever. He's in college. And I had Dwayne graduated 1 year. My son graduated the next year. My daughter graduated the next year. And then my other son. So it's like 4 years back to back. Here I am having graduations, my money, you know, it's so.
Yeah.
I think he chose that. Another reason he chose to go to Florida State is to be closer to home for me, right, to drive up, you know, and see games and just be there for him.
Wow, that is so beautiful. It really is. It's like you said, he's so loyal to the sport, but he's also loyal to his family.
Yes, he is.
So after playing a great season at Florida State, he wanted to test out his draft status. But he kept his amateur status and the option of returning back to school. But then he decided after to wait another year. Why did he do that? Did he feel that he wasn't ready to enter the draft, or was there another reason for that decision?
I think it was more me. It was like going back and forth, and he called me and he's like, Mom, I want to enter the draft. And I just told him, you know, I had watched Dwayne his freshman year. I felt like he was good enough to go, but I also felt like Dwayne needed to, you know, stay back and work on some things. I felt like, hey, you're shooting like maybe, I think he was shooting like 30% from this field goal line and such. And I was like, imagine if you stayed another year, you worked on your shot and you got it up, you know, and who knows, Florida State had never been to the NCAA tournament or something. They was just going through a lot. And I was like, imagine if you stayed and worked on this and that and got it up, how much more of a value you would be going into the league. And he thought about it. He just kept saying, Mom, I really want to go. And I said, well, at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to tell you how I felt. Me and his dad had talked about it. His dad always lets me talk, but I run it by him, but he always lets me talk. And I just, after that, I explained how I felt about it. And he took a couple of days and he came back and, you know, he's like, Mom, I've decided to stay. I feel like you're right. So, I mean, I felt like that's something that he needed to do. Right. And it did. It really helped him. I thought it helped him a lot because he got better from year one to year two.
Imagining this was, it was new for you both, well, for everybody in your family. So where did you go to get your resources and your information about what steps to take him through to the next process of getting to the league?
I did a lot of research myself. It's a guy that was from Lakeland named Chris Richardson, and he hadn't played in the NBA. So he actually like reached out to me and was just like, hey, can I have a conversation with you? And I was excited to have a conversation with him because I know he hadn't played in the league. And I just wanted to know, how was it for him? What were some things that I needed to look for? How was his game? You know, Dwayne's a young kid. He's going into this grown man thing. So I really just sat down with him. I spent a couple hours talking to him, and he just told me so much stuff. To this day, I think if I hadn't had that conversation, I probably would have been lost going into the game. But he just, you know, sat down and talked to me, told me what he went through in the game, just explained a lot of stuff. And it kind of, you know, it opened my eyes to pay attention to a lot. Even now, you know, it still allows me to pay attention to everything Dwayne has going on about his financial stuff, the contract. He just made me realize I needed to be paying attention, because sometimes these kids go into this league and they think they're getting this money, but it's just a lot that comes with this game. So
I just poured into him and listened to what he said, and I used it and went from there.
So are you like his manager?
I wouldn't say I'm his manager, but everything comes through me. You know, Dwayne, I pay all Dwayne bills. If he wants to make a decision, he's asking me how I feel about it. That's just the relationship we have. You know, nothing's going to get done unless you talk to me. I found the financial guys. I found the CPA. I just did everything. I had to do research on all that because I just wasn't going to, you know, settle for no anything and just have anyone taking advantage of my son, because I know where we came from. And the plan is to not go back to where we came from. So I got to be ahead of it, because Dwayne's young and he's not thinking. So somebody has to think. I didn't go to school for it, but I'm not stupid either. So
right.
It just works out. So I just do everything. I don't know. I don't say, I just say I'm his mom. Whatever he needs me to do, I would do it.
He declared for the draft and then signed with an agent. Was it tough finding an agent?
It wasn't really tough. Florida State helped us out a lot. They even held the agent meetings at Florida State. So we picked, you know, like five or six agencies, and we spent two whole days doing like meetings with different agents, and we just went with the one we thought was the best at that time.
Right. What was your family's reaction when he decided to declare?
They were excited, you know, just wishing him the best, you know. I think my cousins or my brothers always say, you know, because my grandmother, my grandfather raised us, and they always like, dang, we wish our grandparents could have been here to see this. But they were excited for him, because nobody's never did anything like this in our family. So this is huge. So they, you know, they wish him the best. They don't want nothing from him. They work and they still hold their job. And we don't look at just because Dwayne's in the NBA that, you know, that's his life. He did that. That's his shine. So we just they just support us and we support him. And that's just how it goes.
So let's move now to draft night. How did your agent prepare you for that night?
Draft night has to be the most, I think that was the most nervous I had ever been in my life, because we were just all over the place. We, you know, we thought Dwayne was going in the first round. He ended up going in the second round. We just had, you know, dealt with some things through the draft process. Dwayne, we were actually at a private location, and then they called Dwayne over to the Barclays Center. So we were watching it on the screens in a private location, and Dwayne was over there, and they didn't call his name in the first round. Dwayne is texting my phone, you know, like, Mom, get me out of here. You know, they're not going to call my name. I just want to leave. And it was just, I'm panicking. I'm like, Dwayne's freaking out. He doesn't want to be over there. I'm trying to tell him, like, be patient. You know, you didn't go in the first round, but we just get 60 spots. We just need you to, your name to be called. I don't care what number you're called. You can go in there. You can show them that you, you know, I was trying to encourage him. He was losing hope, faith, and everything else. But I think the minute we called the car to pick him up, they were getting ready to call his name. And I was like, Dwayne, just hang on like a few more seconds. And when he was getting up to like exit the building, they were like, the second pick, 42nd round, 40th pick of the draft, Dwayne Bacon. And it's like, I'm in a, you know, in the other location, Dwayne's over there. So all my family is in the private location with me. We're crying. And it was just amazing. And at that time, we were waiting on Dwayne. He had to go through all that at the Barclays Center. So we were waiting on Dwayne to get back. And I think the best part of all of that, after my nerves had, and I went crazy, but I think the best part of that is when he got back to the location where I was. And everybody was saying congratulations. And you can just see Dwayne trying to come straight to me. And when he came straight to me, he just broke down crying, and you know, and I started crying, you know, just telling him, but I think that was like through all of that, you know, you just got to trust God. God had him all along. He tossed some things up for him, but he still came out. So I think, I mean, that was just the best. Yeah, it was nerve-wracking, but it still was the best night of my life.
Wow, you're bringing back memories as well. Because I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm thinking, and it's so emotional. And I'm like, oh, so happy. I'm so happy that his name got called finally, because the anticipation, it's a lot.
It's a lot. It's definitely a lot. I mean, and my heart go out to the players that name don't get called. And I'm not saying it is not, you know, it's not too late for them still, but it's just a lot to go through, to sit there for your name, to know if your name's going to get called or not. If you're not guaranteed in that, you don't know those first like 15 picks. It's a lot that those kids go through. It's a lot.
Yeah. So he was drafted to the Pelicans, and then he was traded right away, I believe, to the,
yes,
the Charlotte Hornets.
Yes.
So I guess you had planned to move with him no matter where he went, right?
Yes.
You're like, this is my baby. I don't care where he goes. I'm going to be with him. So
I think he was more saying, like, it was a chance for me to get out of Lakeland. I needed a fresh start, and I felt like I needed to be with him. You know, he's young, and the NBA has a lot come with it. So it kind of worked out for both of us, for me to be there, and it, you know, it gave me a chance to leave from where I was from.
This night was a huge turning point for you and your family. You know, learning about your son was so humbling. Because he often talked about struggle. Do you think on draft night he felt a good sign of relief that finally I'm here?
I think he felt, I do think he felt relief. I also think that he knew going into that he really had to work. He knew that it wasn't going to come easy, and he's going to have to continue to work because, you know, he's trying to go further, you know, go as far as he can in this. So I think he felt the relief, but I also think him going second round 40th pick pushed him to, like, I just got to keep working. I got to keep going. I know this ain't going to be easy. I gotta always work. So I think it gave him, you know, the relief, but I also think it pushes him to keep going and working harder.
Right. So let's go to his first game night. What was that like, and were you there?
I wasn't there his first game night. I actually didn't move up until like Christmas. I moved up in December. So I wasn't there on opening night. I was at home with my kids, and I just watched it on TV. But I talked to him, but it was just exciting for us to even see him on TV. Mm-hmm. Like, he's really with the NBA team. Wow, like, my kid is in the NBA. So, I mean, it was a joy, so much joy.
Of course, because you're looking at TV and you see this child that you raised, and you see him on the court first shooting around, and you see him sitting on the bench. And then you actually see him playing. I mean, that's like a dream come true for anybody.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
I remember watching my son play, and then all of a sudden there was like no more noise. There wasn't 20,000 people around me anymore. It was just me in my head, proud that, oh my gosh, he worked his tail off to get there.
Yes.
Do you ever just stop and realize that your child is living his dream?
I always think about it. I mean, I might find myself crying sometimes. Like, here I am. I can't believe this 16-year-old girl, you know, had this kid who is actually living his dream. It's amazing. And that's why I always go back. You got to be thankful. Whatever is going on in your life, it's nothing compared to where God has brought you. You never forget that. I don't care what you go through in life. Never forget. You are living your dream. Everybody don't get to do that, you know? So I always
I always take a look because I didn't. I was 16, pregnant. You know, I just had to always work to whatever to pay the bills or to keep food on the table. And you get to do something that you love.
Absolutely. And earned.
Yes.
He definitely earned his way.
He worked hard for it.
So he had a good start to the season. And then he also spent time playing for the G League affiliate team, the Greensboro Swarm. How did he feel about playing there?
A lot of people say, you know, take it as him playing for the Swarm is like him downgrading or something. I don't know. But Dwayne took every opportunity of playing in the G League as a time to get better and to keep working on his game. So it didn't bother him because he was playing. He was still playing the game he loved. He felt like playing down there is helping him still, you know, keep moving instead of sitting on the bench. That's how he looked at it.
How do you as a mom just keep him motivated?
It's hard. I mean, I think it's not hard keeping him motivated. It was more hard keeping me motivated. So, because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm hurting in the inside watching my son. Like, I know he worked hard and he should be, you know, given the opportunity. But, I mean, I'm new to this, so I can't, you know, I just got to play the game or follow it. But keeping him motivated was easy for me because I would go to church. I would send him the messages for church. You know, I ain't saying it's been all easy for Dwayne. I'm not saying that he doesn't have his moments, but I pour into him. I remind him, like, never forget where you came from. God didn't bring you this far to leave you. Trust God. Like, pray. If you having some things going on, talk to God. You know, sometimes you can't talk to other people. You know, open your Bible, pick up. And I would send him, like, verses where God said, you know, he would never leave you. Or, you know, Yato, you walk through the valley. I just would always just encourage him and just let him know, you know, I love him. God loves you. You are his before you are mine, and you got to trust him. You got to trust that your God is bigger than everything that's going on in your life. So you're going to have some. God said he would get you here, but he didn't tell you it was going to be easy. So you're going to have some bumps. You got to learn how to trust your God. And when you do go through these bumps, you keep going. You're going to be all right. So that's just my thing. I just always encourage him and went to church, prayed, covered, whatever I needed to do. That's how I kept him motivated.
You know, I love scripture. And one of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 60:22. And it says, when the time is right, the Lord will make it happen.
Yes.
And I think a lot of players need to just sit and focus on just that, because it is so true. We can do what we want to do, but it's going to happen when the time is right.
Yeah, you're right.
So Dwayne becomes a free agent this year. And I mean, there's no telling what the Hornets will decide to do. Is he prepared to go to another franchise if he has to?
I think he is. I really think he is.
You know, the love of the game goes everywhere they go, right? So it doesn't really matter.
I agree.
So tell us, what is he doing now on this full hiatus of not playing basketball?
So we're in Florida. All of my kids are in Florida. He's here. He's just jogging every day. He has a friend that has a private gym. So he's been in the private gym, shooting the ball and just running and working my nerves and just hanging out with his brothers and his sister and spending time with his son. Just spending time with family, really.
You know, now's the time to take advantage of that, right?
Exactly, yes.
Being on the road and not being able to see the family. And so, you know, this time that they have is sort of like a blessing to let their bodies rest a bit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And let their minds rest a bit. And you know what? Once the season starts up again, it's going to be fantastic. I know these players are going to be so pumped.
I can imagine they're going to be,
Yeah. So, honey, looking back from the beginning of his basketball career to today, do you have a favorite memory?
I think my favorite memory is still draft night.
It's still draft, yeah.
Yeah. My favorite part of draft night, like I said, is when he got back over to where we were in the private room. And for him, you know, everybody telling him congratulations, but he just making his way straight to me, and just the hug and the love I felt that night from him, and the tears. I mean, I can never forget that.
Tell me something as a child that he was taught that he still brings forth in his life now.
Prayer. I think me encouraging him to prayer, and, you know, me going to church and talking to him about God, that's something that he uses a lot. I think it's the best thing I could have taught him.
Absolutely. I was listening to him talk, and he was saying, I think he was making a reference of him now playing for the Greensboro Swarm. And he said he just wanted to do it because I'd rather play here than not at all. And then he ended with saying, you know, God's got a bigger plan for me. And I just thought that was just so humbling. And it was just, he's so spiritually gifted. So he was really a joy to listen to. So what advice would you give to up-and-coming amateur players? Like, what advice would you give to the mothers if they came to you and said, Kenny, my son is, he's an NBA prospect. Like, what can you tell me?
I would tell them to make sure they do, you know, check out backgrounds of, like, agencies. Make sure you're going with the right people. Don't just put your son with anyone or any agencies. Pay attention and try to find someone that's based on the need of what your kid needs. Don't be looking at big names, small names. You got to make sure you make the right decision for your kid and what's going to be good for him in the long run. And make sure you develop a relationship. That's what I would say. And you got to pay attention to everything going into this. You got to pay attention. If it's something that you don't know, I would tell, or if, even with contracts, if you got to consult with someone other than the agent, or, you know, I don't know. I think you should get second and third opinions. Just don't go for anything. Just make sure you paying attention to everything that's going on with your kid. And be involved. Don't let them handle it by themselves. Be involved. You talk to the agents, you talk to the financial guys. Just do everything you can to just be involved and pay attention to what's going on with your kid.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we hear as moms or adults and what they hear as kids and boys that really want to play the game is two different things, right?
Exactly.
So, well, Kenny, I wish you all the luck in the world. And Dwayne, he is a fantastic human being. And, you know, like I said, learning about him is a truly a joy. And like I was saying to you earlier, he and my son have a similar story. So we'll have to talk one day.
Yes.
But other than that, it was really, really lovely having you on the show. And I really, really thank you so much for coming on Courtside Moms and sharing your story with us.
You're welcome. Anytime. I really enjoyed speaking with you as well. I hope that we can talk again in the future. You know, hey, maybe get our sons together or something. But it was definitely my pleasure speaking with you. And thank you for even considering me to be on your show. That means a lot to me.
Do it naturally.